And that's brought to us by Syntex Tanker, you're stronger, you're tough. And Access Bank, more than banking. Kale Chaco Toothpaste, happy smile.
I'll start with the Ghanaian Times this morning. Hospitals grind to a halt as nurses' midwives' strike escalates. Yesterday, I saw the payslip of a nurse friend of mine. Winston, it's not good. It's not nice. I disagree with the way the strike is going. I think that they can back down and go back and renegotiate and have their grievances resolved. But I also disagree with how we take care of our nurses and our doctors and our teachers. Look, the person earns 5,056 cedis a month. The deductions are 1,186. And I'm looking at the whole breakdown. Single spine monthly salary, SS market premium, SS basic salary, top-up allowance, social security contribution, employee, income tax, registered nurses and midwives welfare, Ghana Registered Nurses Association dues, and Nurses and Midwives Fund. That is it. So I asked, so any other allowances, like transport?
Like so the take-home is 5,000?
No. The take-home is 3,869 after all the deductions, right? And I asked about their clothing allowance, and she said it's paid in September. It used to be 300 Ghana Cedi plus. They increased it to about 400 Ghana Cedis. And that cannot buy her more than 2 scraps for the year. Okay. So I think that the nurses need to be heard. We need to create a platform for them to and we've seen conditions of service of other agencies and other people. I've seen my own conditions of service. I've seen my family members' conditions of service. I've seen my friends' conditions of service. The people deserve better. There's no two ways about it. I disagree with how the strike is going and how people are struggling. I think and I really beg them to go back to work. But we need to hear from these nurses. We need to hear them out. Even the doctors. Now, TUTAG also says they are going to go on strike.
UTAG is also
threatened. UTAG, TUTAG, because of their research allowance. And we've said this on this show before. If you look at the research reports of the various universities, the last time we looked at that of the University of Ghana, not a single proper government of Ghana funding for any of those research projects.
And you see, I had a conversation with the director of the Institute of Industrial Research at the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. He actually bids for contracts, research contracts, outside the country. And they develop, you know, they develop a lot of research and technology for other countries. They don't develop it for Ghana.
When I'm sick, I don't want any of our nurses to take care of me or somebody who is stressed already to come and take care of you. Anyway. How do you get better? We need to do better for them. So let me give you the other headlines. Yes. And so District Directors of Education to get more powers to improve service delivery at grassroots, says the president. GHS, CKT, UTAS, GCPS sign MOU to promote professional development. If you go to the New Republic, the corruption story is here. Government launches all-out war on corruption. It was at this event that the speaker also spoke. And minister locks down Wale Wale Binduri as guns blaze again amidst renewed conflict. And there's Climate Watch today. Ghana's energy transition, is it a youth-led revolution? That's a question being asked on the front page of the Youth Watch, Winston.
Great, which means we can now get into the online news review. And that's brought to us by Zenith Bank. Zenith Bank, in your best interest.
I'll start with my Joe Online, Winston. And on my Joe Online, there are a lot of stories. You need to log on now. Striking nurses did not create opportunity to talk. This is Labour Minister talking to Joy News. This is a new administration. Dr. Pelpo is urging nurses to reconsider strike tactics. OSP versus Oforiatta. Trial without the accused is a betrayal of justice, says Samson Ladi Ayeneni. All is set for 2025 BEC. More than 600,000 to sit, and 5-6 years ago it was just 500,000. So, an extra 100,000 students writing BEC. Trial is not a Zoom call. Samson Ayeneni demands respect for due process. And I'll take you to the Daily Graphic Online, where Ken's family is accusing the OSP of abuse of administrative procedures. It's on the front page of Graphic Online. Self-acclaimed doctor arrested in Kasua for fraud and romance scams. Last week we discussed scams and fraud here on the show. And tour operators decry visa delays at Ghana's embassy in the United States. I'll take you now to citynewsroom.com. The Ken story is also here. Fouriate's family petitions National Central Bureau, CCF, for deletion of Interpol red notice. And diverting bank reserves is also here on the front page of City Newsroom. The story says diverting bank reserves to Cocoa Board risks monetary stability. You know, the Cocoa Board CEO says 3% of the reserve should be given to Cocoa Board to support LBCs. And Mr. Tuahini says no, he doesn't agree we should do that. Fuel levy, commercial transport operators suspend nationwide strike. And Bagbin says Parliament to draft law supporting lifestyle audit. So that is in relation to the corruption conversation.
Exactly. And talking about what Bagbin has been talking about, we've been joined by a member of parliament for Menchia South and a member of the Constitutional Legal Affairs Committee of Parliament, Nana Ejay Bafwewa. Nana, good morning, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, my brother, and thank you for having me.
Great. And we've also been joined by private legal practitioner Martin Kwebu. Martin, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, morning. Morning, how would you say?
my regards to Martin, my brother. How are you?
Yes, good. Baffled. Yeah, long time.
Great. Okay, before we get into the conversation, let's listen to what the speaker, Alban Sumana, Kingsford Bagbin, said.
The concept of naming and shaming by adding the voucher award. There's no sanction worse than that. That will be your cross. We want to bestow it upon men or women considered perverse and with the lowest level of integrity in this country. And we see it on a daily basis. People exhibit it with impunity on TV. And the effect of that is so telling on the minds of Ghanaians. Yet everybody is silent. This, we will identify such a person and name the person when we are doing the awards for the persons of integrity. Whether the person attends to take the cross or not, it will be hung there on the person's neck. Very, very important. Ghana must learn to celebrate its heroes of integrity as loudly as it condemns acts of corruption. The two must go together.
Okay, so that's Speaker of Parliament, Albert Sumana, Kingsford Bagbin. Let me start off with you, Nana Ejay Bafwewa, since you're a member of Parliament. Speaker has been talking about voucher awards and all of that, naming and shaming, but also has been talking about the need for legislation on lifestyle audits. Is that a necessity? What would it change? Don't we have enough laws to deal with these issues already?
Thank you very much. I've always formed the view that anything that will aid in our fight against corruption to be encouraged. And so there cannot be enough of the laws that assist us in the fight against corruption. We should, however, avoid duplicitous institutions and laws, but rather enhance what we already have. That's always been my view. When you look at what we call lifestyle audit, all the investigative agencies exercising powers mandated under the Constitution or establishing laws have them. So when you take somebody, when you take an institution like the Ghana Revenue Authority, when they are doing an audit on an institution, on a person, they have that mandate, right? When you take the CID, for instance, they all have that mandate, investigating a particular offense or the other. When, for instance, we know in recent times, right, some banks would have your accounts frozen by the FIC simply because what you have in your account is not something which has been consistent over a period of time. And so then it raises suspicion. And then the FIC will obtain an order to freeze your account. On that basis, you ask yourself, if there was no such power, what then is the FIC doing? Every institution of state set up by law in exercising the mandate or the powers given to it by law has the power to do so, right? Okay. In and to exercise such powers that will enable it do its investigation, which includes a lifestyle audit. It might not necessarily be characterized as lifestyle audit. It is, in fact, a lifestyle. And it is consistent to the Constitution. You see, under the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana, you have a right to own property. However, that right is limited under certain circumstances, such as the commission of investigation into the commission of a crime, or to prevent the commission of a crime. And so, when you pass an independent lifestyle audit law, what are you seeking to achieve?
Okay. Now, talking about what we're seeking to achieve, the concern has always been that even with these lifestyle audits that the various institutions you've talked about have, the burden of proof, again, still remains on these institutions. They argue, for instance, and you've heard the OSP argue that in other jurisdictions, you then would have to justify. But in our part of the world, the OSP would then have to actually prove that you acquired these fraudulently or maybe criminally. And so they're looking for laws that would say the proof is on you, the individual under investigation. Isn't that something you would support?
You see, our position is consistent again with our constitution, which is that you have a right, you are deemed innocent until proven guilty. Okay, if you are not careful, you are going to get us into a situation where you weaponize men and not institution, right? Who would then use it to terrorize people? Every constitution is informed by the history of the people. We have been there before. Citizens Vetting Committee, people were brought to come and defend their wealth because everybody was deemed to be a criminal. And that when you are not able to defend it, you go to jail, people run away from this country, and so on and so forth. If you have been set up as an investigative and a body with the power to prosecute, if when you are given the power to investigate, it's definitely not going to be an easy job. If you recall, my brother Martin is on the line. There was a time in this country where when you are charged with murder or defilement or rape, okay, the prosecution, all they needed to do was to slap a charge like that on you and the court will say, will not grant a bail.
Sure.
Whereas in many instances, the burden of the prosecution was to determine that, one, you are a flight risk, two, you are likely to compromise witnesses, right? And three, giving you bail may interfere with your own security or personal safety. So the court should keep you on remand. For these offenses, simply because the legislature made it mandatory that once you are slapped with these charges, you are remanded until your matter is determined. Right? There was no burden on the prosecution to do any work whatsoever, which was inconsistent with the jurisprudence, with our constitution, and indeed, the philosophy behind our laws.
Okay,
and so we have to be careful. When somebody is struggling to do his work, right, he would definitely want an easy way out.
Hold on for me, Bafwe. Well, let me bring in Martin. So you're saying we have to be careful. You think that the laws
need to be careful.
The laws we have the laws are enough. Okay, Martin.
We have the laws.
Let me bring in Martin.
The police has that power already. The Ghana Revenue Authority for tax purposes also has that power, right? IOCO has that power. The Financial Intelligence Crime Center has that power. And I believe that the special prosecutor, even for the purpose of performing its objective under Section 2, right, of its mandate, Section 2 of its act, okay, has that power.
Okay.
What they are looking for is that we have seen that this guy is driving a Ferrari. Let's go after that person. If you are not careful, you are going to build a country where people will be given the power to witch hunt people. Okay. We have to be careful.
Let's please hold on, Bafwe. Well, let me bring in Martin. Martin, you've heard your friend and fellow lawyer Bafwe will make the point that if we're not careful, we're going to create an era of witch hunting. Is that your view also?
Well, not entirely. So, as a principle, that if law is not used well, it can be
Yes, Martin, go ahead. I'm listening.
That if law is not used well, it can be used to hint witch hunt people. It's something that's unassailable, right? Yes, that one. It's something we can't run away from. But on the facts of the Ghanaian case, and in matter of a lot of countries, corruption too has eaten too much into our fabric that we need drastic and decisive measures, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, to be able to tackle. So, you know, like Basil mentioned, if the law comes into being and is being used for witch hunt, people will rise. People will rise so that we can...
Yes, but Martin, I asked Bafo this question. Are our current laws sufficient to deal with the challenges facing us? Do we need another law on lifestyle audits?
Oh, absolutely. That one without question. That one without question. We need it. You see, what Bafo said is true. Mm-hmm. Yes. There are some parts of the law.
So, what Bafo has said is true, then why do we need another law?
Because when it comes to OSP and a lot of other general activities, the lifestyle audit, etc., has not been fashioned out well. That's one. And two, you see, I'm happy Bafo raised the matter of GRA. GRA's lifestyle auditing, we don't see how it operates. We don't have reports. If GRA has, then maybe they should make available so that we can read. I'm especially concerned about the GRA one because it's been there for long.
Now, Martin, if that has been there and you don't see the reports, is it not just a case of demanding reports and demanding the implementation of the law instead of having another law?
No. So that is for GRA. So what I see, as I said, it doesn't cover a lot of other institutions. So GRA's own is for GRA. So the tax man sees you, sees that your lifestyle is beyond the taxes you are declaring, etc. You are holding assets that don't match what is on your books, etc. So they take you in. Now, the GRA law is not being fashioned in such a way that OSP can go and take it and use it. No, OSP can't use it. So OSP has to have its own. So maybe
Martin, hold on. We'll get to the OSP bit. But if the GRA audits you and realizes that your lifestyle doesn't correspond to the taxes you're paying, and you probably could be a beneficiary of proceeds from corruption, is that not enough grounds to get the OSP, for instance, to further investigate you, and then, based on its own laws and based on findings, based on a report from, say, the GRA, prosecute you if it deems that indeed you're benefiting from proceeds of corruption?
In principle, okay, on paper, what you're saying is right, but that's what should happen. But in practice, it's a far cry. Number one, there will be issues of turf war. So GRA is not likely to, I would say likely, they won't do it likely that they are reporting so-and-so for corruption, so-and-so. No, let's not forget that the last time CDD did research on this and about people reporting corruption, etc., I think the number is out of about 8. Even if I'm wrong, let's reduce it to 7. Is that 7 or 8? Out of 10 people said no, they are scared of reprisals, etc. So GRA will not likely be reporting people to OSP. If they wanted to, they would have done a lot. GRA alone could have given OSP more work than they can even do. It's not going to happen, Winston. So you are right on paper, but in practice, it's a far cry. So it's better that we fashion the laws to enable OSP to also tap in If maybe we are tired that the next time they will say we should do one, a better one for CID, that's the police, maybe we should do the wording in such a way that it will cover a lot of other institutions at once. But what cannot happen now is that OSP cannot go and use the GRA one, because the GRA one is in context in the Income Tax Act and the Revenue Administration law. It's, the context is for GRA, not OSP going to take it. So there are those issues.
Mm. Okay, Bafo,
yes, sir.
You've heard Martin.
Let me come in here. First and foremost, my brother Martin has not possibly adverted his mind using the OSP laws. The OSP, one of the means by which complaints OSP come to a matter or initiate investigations into a matter, is through referral. And so the law anticipates that the GRA will refer a matter to the OSP. And in fact, I've dealt with the OSP in a matter where the case was referred to it, for instance, by the Auditor General.
Mm.
And so to say that it will not be appropriate or whatever my brother is saying very respectfully, I don't think it is cool. Further to that, we all know that to say that the people are afraid of reprisal, so they will not be courageous to refer a matter. You cannot classify the GRA as part of a people. GRA is an institution. So if an institution, after conducting its investigation, refers the matter to another state institution, who is going to attack it? Who?
Okay.
Very respectfully, we need to be very careful. Look, my brother, wealth is not crime. We cannot go back to 1981, 1979. However, we are supposed to do right by this country. And so, the institutions of state, in performing their duties, for instance, every year, I'm supposed to file my tax. You are supposed to file your tax. And so, when you file your taxes with GRA, and GRA has a basis to conclude that there's the need for a lifestyle audit, the weight of the GRA is like that. The law allows it. It might not call it a lifestyle audit, but invariably, that is what it is.
Okay.
Okay? Now, if the OSP, right, in doing its investigations of investigating corruption and corruption-related offenses under the Public Procurement Act, under Act 29, under any other law, thinks that it necessitates a lifestyle audit, right? It will do it. My brother, when he couldn't do that for Cecilia Adapa, because there was no basis in law. Because at that point, it didn't have before it a complaint respecting corruption or corruption-related offenses. It was the woman having complained about her stolen money, right? And so when you get frustrated, you don't go complaining, chasing lifestyle audit. If the police or the FIC was handling that matter, it probably would have found a way to deal with it, right? I have, for instance, said that, look, you look at the case of Namwan, for instance, it was poorly handled because we didn't get the right state agencies involved, because the right state agencies have the right power.
So if I get you correctly, you are saying that there should be collaboration among state agencies
exactly.
to deal with these issues.
Exactly, because they all have the necessary powers. Look, today, go to BNI's or NIB's office, National Intelligence Bureau. When you look at their law, they don't solely have the power to investigate. And so they have a CID office there. So the CID office is what is doing the investigations, is what they are doing the investigations with. Because their law mandates them working together with the relevant state agencies to do investigations. My brother, what we need now is not a lifestyle audit. We are looking for honest men and people in this country. We lack them. My brother, look, you sit in parliament very respectfully. A bill comes to parliament. And because we are divided on party lines, we all go and say, yeah, yeah. My brother, if we are doing the work in parliament, right, a lot of the corruption will reduce. Mm. Why would somebody go and sign dubious our purchase agreements, okay? And then the ordinary citizen will be embedded, will be overburdened with paying 45 cedis on every 10 gallons of fuel he purchases. And it only benefits few people. And so if Mr. Bagbin, very respectfully, is minded to fight corruption, let's do our work well in Parliament. Because if we perform our oversight very well in Parliament, okay, the prospects of people having money to play about will reduce.
And finally, finally on this, would you then support the institution of integrity awards?
I'm coming, my brother. All the agencies of state, right, they are under one parliamentary committee or the other, which performs oversight. If we're being candid, if we're being honest, we'll be able to reduce corruption from Parliament and not pass laws that, you know, we end up sometimes even abusing or not using.
Great. And in that case, would you support the institution of integrity awards by Parliament?
I would rather we start giving ourselves awards very respectfully in Parliament. People standing up for the nation Ghana in Parliament. You see, charity begins at home. It's very, very good. It's very commendable. Okay? But let's work towards building a stronger Ghana from Parliament, a corruption-free society from Parliament. That, for me, should be our focus. Right? And let the other institutions of state, the police and other institutions, deal with people who are corrupt outside of Parliament. That way, people would see that the greatest honor is working hard and achieving something for yourself. That is the greatest honor and award, and not calling people and giving them an award. For me, very respectfully, that is only symbolic. Let's begin to work towards awarding ourselves, honoring ourselves in Parliament, patting ourselves at the back, our back, that we have done a very good work in respect of the budget, in respect of a bill that came to Parliament, in respect of loan agreements that came to Parliament. We should think about the country, think about the people, ordinary Ghanaian, and not rush through very crucial things through Parliament, you know, under a certificate of urgency. We are not doing a good service to the people in the circumstance.
Okay. Bafo Ewa, thank you very much. That's Nana J. Bafo Ewa, Member of Parliament for Minshia South and Member of the Constitutional and Legal Affairs Committee of Parliament. But Martin Kwebo is still with us. Martin, I want us to move on quickly to the letter by, or the release by Ken Oforiatta's family, where they say, for instance, that the OSP has been engaged in use of office for vendetta and political persecution. He's been is deliberately been suppressing evidence and denial of institutional flexibility to permit compliance with orders. But for me, where I want your views on is his legal team inquiring from the Commission for Control of Interpol's files, whether the suit to the Human Rights Court scheduled to be heard, and the ruling on June 18, and the Mayo's doctor's letters and reports, and the scheduled cancer surgery, would have indeed impacted in, or would have affected the declaration of him on Interpol's red alert. Legally, I'd want to understand. I'm sure you've read, Articles 2 and 3 of the Interpol Constitution. Would these things have mattered if they were disclosed to Interpol?
Well, you know, let's put it this way. It's difficult to stick out one's neck to say that a disclosure of that would automatically have led to Interpol to decline. Okay? Putting Oforiatta on the red notice. It's difficult because it's a discretionary matter.
Okay.
Because if we're disclosing those, then certainly you would also realize that a very big gap, right, within Oforiatta's own defense is the fact that he made out the March 20th, 21 medical appointment as a big surgery, which required so much attention. And so OSP even gave him more time after the surgery they themselves in their letter acknowledged that OSP had been generous, or they had overindulged them. They were very happy because they had given more, far more than they anticipated. So they cannot come back now to cry foul. No. Right? So the Commission for the Control of Interpol FAS, yes, it's an independent body, okay, but within Interpol, right? Uh-huh. But they also use discretion. And when you are exercising a discretion, what do you look at? You look at all the facts. All the facts. So it's not as if it's just a one-way traffic that you just go and complain that this and this and this mean that Interpol didn't do the right thing. No. Look, very, very key in Ofori Atteh's defense is that failure to be candid with the OSP, that he was going for a diagnostic procedure. It wasn't a major surgery. Why do you make out a diagnostic procedure?
Let's say that was his surgery. Understanding, Martin. Let's say, granted, that was his understanding that this was the case. After all, it was a letter from his doctor. So, how then does it become a challenge when he was only presenting letters from his doctors?
Perfect. So, Winston, after March 21st, what happened? When it turned out to be a simple diagnostic procedure, why did Ofori Atteh keep quiet? Why didn't Ofori Atteh reach out to the OSP that, it wasn't a major surgery after all? So, now I'm due to go for a surgery on June 13th. Can we arrange so that I meet you earlier, etc.? Reach out. That failure to reach out is very material.
Mm.
It totally erodes all honesty from Ofori Atteh's engagement with the OSP.
Okay.
Such a big guy. I look at it and I'm like, come on. I mean, what kind of shambolic way of dealing with the OSP is it? And Winston, I say this in the context that, remember when OSP first issued the red, this and put him on the Interpol red notice, I disagreed. I said when Ofori Atteh was leaving this country, he gave notice to the various officers. All right? So I disagreed. But this second one, the way Ofori Atteh is behaving, he deserves to be there. But there's also a third point, Winston, that we also have to hold OSP accountable for the way it didn't take Ofori Atteh's offer to start engaging him whilst he was in the U.S. You hear OSP come to say something like, we can't take a caution statement via Zoom, etc. Please, that's not an answer. The moment people say engage him, there is a law. So let's just say that everybody speaking, maybe we're not articulate enough and say take caution statement on Zoom. What it means is that under the Mutual Legal Assistance Act, you could have asked the U.S. authorities to take the caution statement. It's simple. All they need is to touch him and say they are arresting him. Mm. So blah, blah, blah. He has a right to be silent. There are some procedural things. Before he writes the statement, it's not any rocket science. Okay. So when people say engage him, Zoom, yes, there's a right to use Zoom under Section 42 of the Mutual Legal Assistance Act, right? Yes, the OSP say he's not yet an accused. All those answers are not answers. The moment citizens discovered that OSP could have engaged him by asking the American authorities to do the arrest just for the purpose of taking statement, etc., OSP should have just accepted it and said, well, okay, next time we can look at it. But the defense of coming to say, I cannot take caution via Zoom, etc., with due respect, it's not an answer. Look at the meaning of it. Does OSP accept that they could have asked the American authorities to do this for us? Because we do things, extradition, etc. We are Americans. A lot of Ghanaians are extradited to the U.S. to face justice, etc. Mm. This one, we have not actually asked them to extradite Ofori Atteh. Just go do the cautioning so that Ofori Atteh can write his statement. It's nothing. So the third point is that OSP going forward must also watch how it's been dealing with this matter, because if they had taken Ofori Atteh's offer that time and had taken the caution statement, etc., now that we are all not happy about how Ofori Atteh is, deceived the OSP, etc., They could have gone ahead to start the trial in absentia, because by then, because they've engaged him through U.S. authorities and will continue to engage him, etc. OSC said, look, simple. We are filing the charges on this day. Come or you don't come. So we could have gained time. But I said, no, we need him physically. Yes, I'm not challenging OSC's investigative powers to need him physically. But we are looking at how the time was managed. The OSC believed the Foyata too much. They didn't have a plan B. But you can't go into any major project like this without a plan B. So as you think good, you think evil. Now, what if this guy doesn't come? Do you know that there were a lot of people who said Ofuriaka would never come? Yeah, a lot of skeptics said that, look, he's just deceiving you guys. Get on. So there should have been a plan B. So the plan B would have been engaging him all this while, doing all the necessary things that could be done. So when June 2nd came and he said he would not come, etc., then by now the charges would have been filed.
Okay.
Then so, the court case would be going on.
So if I get you clearly, Martin, you're saying that the OSP could have actually been a bit proactive in dealing with all of this. Now, by using the mutual legal assistance, would that then not be a justification for Ken's family saying they sense persecution instead of prosecution?
Well, you can't take that argument from them. No, I have to be fair. As I said, we also, Ben Bwachi's ASAP, CDD, etc., we have a lawsuit against Ofuriata. Yet, I have to be fair. It's an argument. Yes, that's their interpretation. Mm-hmm. Once OSP didn't take that offer, we can't take that argument from them that they see this as persecution. No, I don't want to, you know, be unfair to Ofuriata. No. Right. I believe if we use the right processes, we can still go through and hold him accountable. So I don't need to, say no when the answer is clear. Yes, when I make an offer that I'm available, this, and then you say no, I will not deal with you to any extent at all until you come into the jurisdiction. The family can make that argument. But it doesn't mean too that the family are right. But what I'm saying is that statement doesn't appear to be unreasonable. No. That is their interpretation of what is happening. They are entitled to it.
Thank you very much, Martin Kwebu, for joining us this morning. Martin Kwebu is a private legal practitioner joining us here on the Super Morning Show. We apologize for our inability to bring you the BBC News brought to us by Fidelity Bank. Believe with us. Service resumes tomorrow. I still have Kojo Akotobating here with me.
Yes. Kojo,
we need to go for a short break.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot to be said, but we need to go for a short break. When we return after these messages, we would have time to address all of these issues here on the Super Morning Show.
On the Super Morning Show.